following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. Right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, oh man, lots of things going on in the sports world. We've got World Series baseball to talk about. Kansas City Royals. New York Mets. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. The New York Mets are in the World Series. They did it pretty unbelievably, too, when you think about it. Sweeping the Cubbies right out of the NLDS, and on their way to the World Series, and then obviously Kansas City being very tough themselves, getting it done. Just great stuff as always. College football, man, oh man. What did I learn this weekend about college football? This is what I learned once again. I learned that the Pac-12 is pretty pathetic once again. I'm going to keep going with that theme over and over until somehow, some way, I get proven wrong by the Pac-12. But I see USC whooping up on Utah, and we always talk about Utah as being such a great coach team. At least one of my co-hosts, partners in crime, Fred Wallen, always says, hey, that's the best coach team in the country. Well, I didn't think they were so well coached the other day. And I'll tell you what, that quarterback made all kinds of mistakes, man. So I learned that the Pac-12 is the Pac-12, and anything can happen. Anyways, I'm just getting warmed up. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I'll be right back after the pause for the cause.
As winter gets closer, more people are looking for ways to reduce their utility bills. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned, and we'll talk about one you may not have even considered right after this.
Marrying the right trim and moldings to your siding can do amazing things for the character and curb appeal of your home. And if it's from Royal Building Products, that character will last with minimal maintenance. Royal Cellular PVC Trim Board, decorative moldings, and door and window surrounds help you finish the design statement you started with your siding. They come in a range of styles from understated to ornate, with no rotting, warping, or splitting. Learn more at royalbuildingproducts.com.
Right now, most of you are concerned with how to make our homes more efficient this winter, and most are focused on the furnace. That's important, but don't forget your water heater. These appliances rank second or third in energy use, and they operate year-round, so a little efficiency goes a long way. In the last few years, gas-fired tankless water heaters have become very popular because they heat water on demand and use much less energy than traditional models. But if you rely on electricity for this chore, you also have a more efficient option too, the hybrid or heat pump water heater. It draws heat from the air around it and it transfers it to the water in the tank, which requires much less energy than relying solely on electric heating elements. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
The experts at web.com want to build your business a successful website
for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. A little bit of a solo show for about the first 25 minutes. So if you do want to jump on board, have anything to say, 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit me up on Twitter, at Dorf on Sports. Check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Again, so much happening in the sports world. We got the World Series to talk about. Mets, Kansas City. Not really that surprised about Kansas City, I'll be honest with you. I like them coming into the season. Thought they were going to be pretty good. I didn't think they were a one-and-out type of thing. I thought they were going to be pretty solid. I really did. Have John Poulter in about 10 or 15 minutes to talk to you about that, obviously about the World Series. We'll get his thoughts on, you know, his Blue Jays and some of the things that happened throughout the postseason, but really focus on the Mets and the Kansas City Royals, because obviously those are the two teams playing for the biggest prize in all of baseball, which is a World Series. But again, I'm not surprised that Kansas City's there. I actually thought they would be one of those teams. I guess I was surprised about Detroit being as bad as they were. But I'm not surprised that Kansas City is in the World Series. It's a good baseball team. Very good baseball team. The Mets are a good baseball team, too. Both these teams can hit. Both these teams have great pitching. Makes a lot of sense to me. We'll find out what John Poulter has to say about that in a few minutes. Want to get back into this college football thing. You know, I say it each and every week, and we'll have Seth Marenbloom to talk about this in about 25 minutes or so. But I say it every week. I think the Pac-12 is awful. I really do. I watch it a lot. I'm not just saying this. I'm not just because I have sour grapes and I have this East Coast bias thing. No, I actually watch Pac-12 football. I live on the West Coast, so I get to see that garbage nonstop. And yes, I'm calling it garbage. Because when I see Utah, who's supposed to be so well coached and supposed to be the great team that they are, go into USC and lay a complete egg, I'm scratching my head once again. That's because the Pac-12 is overhyped so badly, it's unbelievable. There is not a good football team in the Pac-12. Maybe with the exception of Stanford. But even they showed me a little bit of weakness. And I know that they won big. It's not that. The point of the matter is the Pac-12 is awful. And those that thought it was any good really need to figure things out, because that's not a good football conference. A lot of hype, big time hype. But at the end of the day, you know, Arizona loses to Washington State at home. Colorado gets a victory, something that they don't do very often at Oregon State. But the big one to me was USC. And it's not that they just won. They manhandled the number 3 or 4 team in the country, whatever they are supposed to be. They're not a good football team, though. That's what I learned. I learned that they're not a good football team. Cal? Well, you know what? Cal went into UCLA, and, you know, that doesn't make sense to me at all. UCLA is so banged up, but yet they go out and they put up 40, and Cal, a team that usually can score pretty well, goes out and struggles themselves. So, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. The Pac-12 is so up and down. It's pathetic. It really is. At the end of the day, you know, you have your Ohio States who are finally starting to come around to me. Pretty impressive over a Rutgers team that's not that great. But at the same time, this isn't something that we've seen from Ohio State. They've just kind of gotten by. No, not this weekend. This weekend they decided to come and play. And they win pretty big. So I'm not too surprised about what's going on. Baylor, you know, people talk about them and they're not don't think they have that great of a defense. Well, you know what? Their offense didn't show up in the second half. And their defense had to a certain degree. I mean, yeah, they have a big lead, so they're going to be okay. But for the most part, you know, they only scored 10 points in the second half. And that's very uncharacteristic of a Baylor squad. They did give up 20 points in the second half, but their defense had to show up to a certain degree. So I'm learning in college football that, you know, Pac-12 overhyped. I like Clemson a lot. I really like them. 58-0, they whoop up on the U, who's completely lost its swagger, man. Used to be a proud football school, but at this point, man, oh, man, that's a scratch in your head all the time with them. But I like Clemson. I think that's a good football team. I really do. Michigan State, you know, they got it done. I mean, think about what would have happened if they wouldn't have gotten it done. The week after, you beat Michigan on one of the craziest plays. And then Florida State has something even worse maybe happen to them because they got that the Georgia Tech guy ran that thing back about 78 yards. At least the Michigan guy only ran it back 35 or 40 yards. But those are maybe two of the craziest plays you're going to ever see. And they happen back to back. That's unbelievable. I never thought I was going to see what happened again after I saw Michigan State and Michigan. But then I'm watching Florida State and Georgia Tech, and the same type of thing happens. That was crazy, man. 2 weeks in a row to have that kind of thing happen on the last play of a game? You can't you can't make this stuff up. That's what's great about it. I love sports in that sense. Because you have the greatest and the worst thing happen. Think about it. Michigan fan, they were absolutely beside themselves in both ways. Because for a moment, they thought they were beating Michigan State, their rival. Jimmy Harbaugh's back. And then all of a sudden, a botched kick, a snap, the punter loses it. And man, oh man, Michigan State rolls to victory somehow, some way. And then they come back this week pretty impressive. I mean, look, Indiana hung with Ohio State, too, for a while. So for them to hang with Michigan State for a little bit, it makes sense. And then all of a sudden, Michigan State turned it on in the fourth quarter big time. Alabama struggles with Tennessee. Not really that surprised. Alabama's good. They're not great. They're good. Tennessee may be better than people think they are. And I know their record doesn't show it. But I think when push comes to shove, man, oh, man, it's going to be tough here. I don't know who the best four teams are in the country. I really don't. I guess I got to give Ohio State the credit because I do feel that they're the number one team. And I know that was last year and they won it last year. But they come into the season with a lot of the same pieces that they had. And until they lose, they're the number one team to me. So when people knock them out of number one, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. Ohio State is the number one team. Who are the next four teams? That are three teams. That's the real question. Because it doesn't seem like anybody really wants to step up. You know, Texas A&M had a shot to go to Ole Miss and look impressive, but it was quite the opposite. Texas Tech, same thing for them. They had a chance to go to Oklahoma and make an impression. Didn't happen, man. Oklahoma is the one that made the impression. Anyway, so much going on in college sports, so much going on in sports in general. On the other side, we're going to switch gears once again. We're going to get back into baseball. I got my man John Poulter, my professor of sports, to break it down. Let me know what he thinks about what's happening with the World Series. And like I said, some of the other things that happen along the way. Anyways, got to take a quick pause. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I'll be right back in just a few.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds. It's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Bobby Thompson up there swinging. He's got two out of three, a single and a double, and Billy Crouch is swinging right on the third base line. One out, last of the ninth, back of pitches. Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads it 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franco throws. There's a long strike! It's going to be, I believe! The Giants run the pellet! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the lower deck of the left field stand! The Giants win the pennant, and they're going crazy! They're going crazy! Hey-ho! I don't believe it! I don't believe it! I do not believe it! Bobby Thompson in a line drive into the lower deck of the left field stand! The same place is going crazy. The Giants.
corner. The Giants won it by a score of 5-4, and they're picking Bobby Thompson up and carrying him off the field.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. The Bobby Thompson home run. Wow, wow, wow. Man, oh man, that must mean that I've got John Poulter to talk to me about baseball and maybe the World Series a little bit, obviously, with the Mets playing the Kansas City Royals. Maybe a little bit tough for John to swallow as obviously your Toronto Blue Jays fall to the Kansas City Royals. And I'll tell you what, man, it was a pretty interesting series. A lot of big bats, a lot of good pitching from the Royals, and maybe just a little bit of too much of the combination, to be honest with you, for your Toronto Blue Jays, John.
Morning, Andy. It's been a little tough to swallow, although I think in the, you know, looking at it from a professional standpoint as opposed to a hometown standpoint, I think Kansas City was better over the six-game series. Whether they're a better team is another question. I think the two teams were very evenly matched, but in the six games that counted, Kansas City were fair value for their win. Blue Jays missed a couple of golden opportunities to get back in that series or maybe even win that series, but that's why they play the games, as you often say. So, hey, next year is just around the corner. Lots of changes probably in terms of the Blue Jays on the field and off the field with Mark Shapiro coming in to replace Paul Beeston as the club president. But, you know, if somebody had said to us in spring training that the Blue Jays would get to Game 6 of the American League Championship Series, I think all of us Blue Jay fans would have accepted that and said, hey, it's going to be a pretty good season.
No, I agree 100%. Look, I think that they obviously, you know, getting over the Yankees and winning that division, that's a huge hurdle in itself. And then, look, the Kansas City Royals, I believe I said I thought they were going to be for real, and I didn't think that they were going to be a one-hit wonder or and be there for a year. I thought that they had the makings of being a pretty good baseball team for a few years to come, and you know what? They're back at it, man. And I think you have to give a little bit of credit to where credit is due and just kind of tip your hat and say, look, Kansas City is got this thing going now, and they may be a powerhouse for a few of the next seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's very likely until a lot of these young players get to the point where they're no longer under club control. And Kansas City being a small market team, I think they're going to find that it's going to be hard to keep that team together. But certainly while they have that team together and have it under control, there's no question that they can become a dominant team in the league for several years. And, you know, you and I have had a number of conversations over the baseball season that we kind of thought that Kansas City and St. Louis were the two creams of the crop in terms of their respective leagues, and we had often talked about an all-Missouri World Series, so I guess we were half right. The Mets kind of came out of nowhere, and that sort of came about with the deadline trade for Yonas Cespedes, and I guess in terms of the postseason, Daniel Murphy turning into Babe Ruth. I mean, this guy just came out of nowhere in terms of power. You know, I don't know what his exact stats are, but last time I looked, he had 11 RBIs, 7 home runs, and he was hitting .421 or something along those lines in the postseason. And great for him. Not very much what you'd expect from Daniel Murphy based on what we've seen over his career, but certainly when you look at that Met team and that great young pitching staff they have, I think we're in for a great World Series. I think we've got some teams here that are very well matched, certainly at this point of the year.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it's two teams that, you know, like I said about Kansas City, could be around for a while. I think the Mets' future is pretty bright, to be honest with you. The way they handled the Cubs, were you surprised that they were able to just literally go in there and crush the Cubs in every way, shape, and form? I mean, by game three or so, I'd say that the Cubs were pretty much demoralized, and you know what? Rightfully so. The Mets were just hammering them.
Yes, it was a bit of a puzzling series to me, and I've been on record as saying at the start of the series that I thought the Cubs might take it in six, but obviously it shows what I know about baseball when I say the Cubs can take it in six and they lose in four. maybe it's time for you to get another baseball analyst. But I look at the Mets and I look at their pitching staff, and young pitching is always great for potential, and every team likes to look at their young pitchers both on the major league staff and on the minor league rosters and say this is our future, because we all know that it's very hard to develop a good contingent of young, homegrown, talented pitchers. The Mets have been able to do it. They've hit pay dirt. They've got five or six guys, and they've all come through. Usually when you have five or six guys, one or two of them come through, and you end up having to fill those holes from elsewhere, either in trades or free agency. But in this case, the Mets have developed four or five really good young pitchers, and then, of course, that means Bartolo Colon, the ageless wonder, goes to the bullpen. He comes out of the bullpen twice in the Cubs series, pitches two or three solid innings, keeps the Mets in the game. And once you get to that Met bullpen, it's every bit as good as Kansas City's. Doesn't get as much publicity, but in my mind, the back end of Reed, Clippard, and Familia are just as good as Mets and Herrera and Davis. So I think we're looking for short games in the World Series to use the oft-overused phrase by the Fox broadcasters. I think the series is going to be a race to the bullpen.
So with that being said, how do the Royals win the series, and then how do the Mets win the series?
Well, I think the Royals win the series by continuing to play the way that they have the last two series against Houston and Toronto. They have to continue to make use of their spacious ballpark, a ballpark that I've discussed many times. They have a team completely designed for. They're not a power team. They're a pitching, speed, and defense team. I think they have to continue with that. For the Mets, they have to continue to get good pitching out of the top three guys, maybe four if you want to include Steven Matz in that. And when I say that, I'm talking about Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Matz as their top four starters. And I think you have to hope that Cespedes stays healthy and that Murphy continues to show some resemblance of what he has shown so far. Whether he can keep that going for another four through seven games is hard to tell, but I'm sure the Mets would take 50% of that production in the series.
No, I would absolutely think they would, but it should be interesting. I mean, look, the Mets haven't been here in a long, long time. Kansas City, kind of fresher. Does that help them in any way, shape, or form? What do you think?
Well, you get back to the old age discussion of when a team is on a momentum swing. Does it help that you've got only two or three days off, as Kansas City does,
yeah,
to restructure themselves? Or does it help the Mets when they're going to have, I think that series finished on Wednesday night, so they're going to have almost a week, which,
yeah,
is great in terms of setting up your pitching rotation, great in terms of any nagging injuries that may have been there. You have a chance to get them out of the way. But when the Mets have been on a momentum swing the way that they have the last couple of weeks, maybe it's going to hurt them for the first game, which is in Kansas City. So I'm looking at Kansas City to take this in six. Personally, from a heart standpoint, I hope that I'm wrong based on what the Royals did to my Blue Jays. Looking at it professionally and looking at it from a neutral standpoint, since I'm neither a fan of either team, I have to think that I'd love to see the Mets win it. I think that would be a much better story. But looking at it logically, I have to think that Kansas City is a stronger team, and having that extra home game, again, in a park that their team is specifically designed for, I think that's going to have to be a major factor.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shapes up. I want the Mets to pull it out just because I'm a National League guy myself. Now that, you know, I live on the West Coast to a certain degree, and, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers are a team that are in the National League somehow, some way now too. So I'm more of a National League guy now than I'm an American League guy. So hopefully the National League can get it done. But I'll be honest, I wouldn't be upset seeing Kansas City win it. I mean, you know, an organization that was once very proud and struggled for a long time. It's good to see George Brett supporting them and whatnot. I wouldn't be unhappy seeing them win the World Series, John.
Well, I can share that to some extent. And putting aside the Royals' victory over the Blue Jays,
hey, Hey, John, just hang tight. Hang tight real quick. I'll let you finish your thought on the other side. I got to take a quick pause for the cause. John Poulter, Dorfman. I'll be right back. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Hey, sports fans, it's time to take football to a whole new level. Put the excitement back in the game and put your money where your mouth is. Real Vegas odds and incredible player props make MyBookie your best bet this season. Did the game already go off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie offers in-game live betting on all your favorite sporting events. Create your account today. Right now, the baseball playoffs are in full swing. Don't just watch the game, be a part of it. It's time to get off the sidelines and start winning today. We guarantee fast, convenient payouts over the phone or online. MyBookie is the best website for all of your wagering needs. Call now at 844-900-BETS. Enter promo code USA. That's USA. And receive a 100% bonus. That's 844-900-2387. Or go online to MyBookie.lv to open an account and start winning today. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Just finishing up with John Poulter, my professor of sports, breaking down what's going on in Major League Baseball. As we all know, World Series is upon us here just in a moment or two. And then we're going to hook up with Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box. And, John, I'll have you at least say hello to Seth on your way out. But you were talking, and I didn't want to cut you off. We were both having our sentiments toward Kansas City and saying, hey, if they do win, I wouldn't be too upset about it. And me being a National League guy, this would be okay for me. And then you kind of were starting to say something, but we had to get to a break. So finish up your thought, John.
Yeah, what I was thinking, Andy, was, you know, setting aside the fact that Kansas City beat Toronto, I got to say that one thing that struck me a little bit negatively this year about Kansas City, I've always thought that they were a good team. I've always thought they were a great organization. I've always thought that Dayton Moore has done a wonderful job in terms of building that team through the draft and developing players, which he knew he was going to have to do because of the size of the market. But one thing that's really disappointed me this year with Kansas City is their propensity to get into this beanball strategy with teams. It seems that every time I turned on the TV this year and saw highlights of a beanball war, somehow or other the Kansas City Royals were involved in it. I don't understand it. They're too good of a team on the field to have to resort to that kind of strategy. I hope they cut that out. I don't want to see that in the World Series.
Look, they should cut that out in general. There should
be
no... The unwritten rules of baseball are the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in sports. And most in general, all the unwritten rules of all the sports games are pretty stupid at the end of the day, because it usually has something to do with maybe potentially somebody getting hurt or harmed in some way, shape, or form. So I'm not about that. I'm about having the best go out and play the best, and then you see who wins and who's actually better. So I think we think a lot alike on this one. But if I'm not mistaken, Seth, are you from Missouri or somewhere around there? Or what is your loyalty to Missouri anyway?
I am in Kansas City.
All right, there you go. So I knew we were hitting a little bit of a soft spot here, but... Can you defend your Royals then, or Missouri, or anything?
Let me preface my comments with, I'm a baseball fan, kind of on the side. I don't get into it nearly as much as a lot of other people do. Like you, I'm not a fan of the unwritten rules of any sport. I think the issue or the perceived issue with the Royals pitchers hitting batters and the beanball wars was more the beginning of the season than the middle or the end of the season. And what watching the playoff games that they were involved in this year up until this point, I don't recall that being problematic or an issue of any kind, at least not in the playoffs.
No, I agree with you on that one. By the way, John, that's Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box. Usually talks college football, but good to know that he can throw it out there with his baseball talk too.
Well, that's good. I listen to Seth's segment on college football each week. I get a good chance for me to learn something, because I think you folks all know that what I know about college football, you could print in block letters on a postage stamp. So anytime I can listen to somebody that has the inside on something that I don't, I'm always happy to listen and take that theory that you have two ears and one mouth for a reason, and you sit back and you listen when somebody speaks about something that you don't know anything about.
Hey, appreciate your time as always, John.
My pleasure.
I think you've got a curling date today, so enjoy it.
I got to be on the ice at 1 Eastern, so as soon as we hang up the phone here, it's out the door, grab some lunch, and hopefully do battle on the ice this afternoon.
Hey, have a great day, John, as always. Love talking to you about baseball. Can't wait to talk to you next week. And
my pleasure.
We'll see if we're right. I think the Mets win it all, but absolutely would not be upset if the Kansas City Royals do it. So
yeah,
have a great day, John.
Thanks, Andy. We'll be four games into it by then, so we'll have a real good opportunity to look back. And Seth, nice chatting with you for a few minutes, and good luck with the college football segment, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Have a great day. John Poulter, our professor of sports, who joins us each and every week breaking down Major League Baseball, and he does a great job of it. We really appreciate him. Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box joining me now. Seth, let me get into this right away, man. I am so beside myself with this Pac-12 nonsense and how bad of a football conference it is. Please tell me I'm wrong in some way, shape, or form, but how in the heck does Utah go in there and play the way that they did against USC, and they're the number 3 or 4 team in the country, however you want to slice it in whichever poll you're looking or however people rate it that particular day, but they laid a complete egg. They looked awful. We always talk about them being well coached. They look terrible, man. USC, look, I get it. There's a lot of things going on there with Sarkisian and the nonsense that they've had to kind of put up with. And they're probably a better football team than they've displayed. But is Utah this bad?
I don't think Utah is this bad. I loved USC going into this season, and they were one of my preseason picks to be in the college football playoff. Now, they laid a few eggs of their own along the way. They're obviously no longer in that college football playoff conversation. But I think this speaks to a point that you've made over the past few weeks while talking with me, and that is the amount of parity that is in college football. You know, each Saturday it seems like it's the start of a new season. You know, with that said, I still really think the Pac-12 from top to bottom is the best conference in the country, because I think their bottom dwellers of their conference are better than the bottom dwellers of other conferences, because I don't think there's a team in the Pac-12 that has an offense that is as putrid as what the SEC has with the Missouri Tigers. So you know, just to pick on my own, so you know, I'm not accused of, you know, by any listeners of having this, you know, SEC bias and this bias, you know, towards my own team. There isn't a team in the Pac-12 or any other conference really that has something that is that bad, at least on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, there's a lot of parity, but top to bottom, I think the Pac-12 still has the most depth of the conferences.
See, I just look at it, and like you said, I agree. There's parity in all of football. So it is what it is. That's a good thing to a certain degree, but it's a bad thing to another degree. I think it makes it more difficult when we're getting to this playoff picture thing, because there's not a clear cut four teams that are better than the rest of the country. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Oh, I would completely agree with that, and you know that's why, you know, at this point in the year, and maybe even up until the point that those four teams are chosen for the playoffs, it's a completely fluid situation, you know, week in and week out, and you know that makes the committee's job, you know, all the more difficult, that you know they really have a lot to balance, and you know maybe even more to balance than just, you know, how teams progress from the start of the season till the end of the season. You know, I'm not a big proponent of, you know, all right, team X beat team Y and team Y, you know, beat team Z as a way of differentiating between teams. But with the parity that has played out this year, I think by the end of the season, the college football playoff committee may be forced to, you know, make some comparisons like that to differentiate between teams.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's the voice of Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box showing me here on Dorf on Sports. Let me ask you this, man. I thought I saw the craziest play 2 weeks ago now, or whatever it is, when Michigan State somehow, some way got that, like the punt was, you know, the botched snap, and then they run it back for a touchdown. But then I see almost the same type of thing happen with Florida State and Georgia Tech, and maybe even worse, to be honest with you, because that guy ran it back like 78 yards. Okay, it wasn't the 35 or 40. The thing about the Michigan was rivalry, whatnot, Jimmy Harbaugh, you know, all the things that were going on there, but I thought I was never going to see that again, and then we see it 2 weeks in a row. What the heck is going on, man? I mean, honestly, will we ever see those types of things happen week after week like that, 2 weeks in a row?
Well, first of all, I'm sure Brady Hoke would have gone for the touchdown if he were coaching Florida State. He would not have attempted the field goal. So, you know, that ending never would have happened if Brady Hoke would have been coaching Florida State. that joke aside, I think that Florida State play, you know, just because it involved a field goal attempt, was more reminiscent to me of Alabama Auburn a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now I think where I really stop myself with that is Georgia Tech is not getting in to the national championship picture the way Auburn did a few years ago with that miraculous return that that they had. You know, I don't think you can expect plays like that week in and week out. You know, it certainly adds excitement to the game, and I think what it speaks more towards is, I'm going to go back to that P word, you know, parity, that, you know, there's not a whole lot separating these teams more often than not. I mean, we still have the blowouts, but
sure.
You know, week in and week out, we have games that are coming down to the wire, and that generates excitement, and that, you know, has all of us talking about it and all of us tweeting about it and all of us writing about it. So I think really what it really gets boiled down, it's great for the game, because this isn't like a few years ago, that Virginia Tech Wake Forest game where, you know, at the end of regulation it was 0-0 and it was just an even matchup of just garbage. You know, so I mean, I don't mind these types of outcomes, and I think really at the end of the day, it's good for the game. It generates excitement.
No, I agree. I do think it is good for the game. Speaking of good for the game, Clemson, could we see them in the national title hunt? I know they're kind of on the outside looking in right now, but I've been high on them all year. I like them. I think that's a good football team. Do they somehow find their way into the national title picture?
I'm high on them right now also, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, Campus Press Box, we have a little mock committee going on, and I have them as my number two team in the nation right now. I mean, I think they're similar to the TCUs and Baylors of the world, except I think they're much better, because I think they have they have a higher caliber defense
than
a Baylor or a TCU. And I think, you know, where the committee would find themselves with looking at those three teams, I think it gets to the point where they start to compare the ACC to the Big 12. And, you know, there may not be a significant amount of differentiation between the two conferences as a whole, but, you know, when you see Clemson go out and play, you know, an average at best Miami team on the road and just absolutely obliterate them, like, what, 54-0, I think it was, and then you turn around and you look at a Baylor really, you know, having their hands full more than they should have with an Iowa State team who, you know, I don't think is even as good as Miami.
I agree.
Start to make those comparisons, it really starts to elevate Clemson.
No, I agree. Hey, can you hang tight and let's finish the hour? I'll let you kind of finish your thought there. But look, I don't think Baylor needs to crush every single team. I mean, they should, yes, but it's tough to win every game by 30-some-odd points like they're always favored by. So I don't necessarily give them all the blame. But anyways, I'm going to finish up with Seth Marenbloom on the other side. We're going to wrap up this hour. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help.
and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank John Poulter, my professor of sports, for joining me, talking Major League Baseball, and Seth Marenbloom, who's with me still from Campus Press Box, finishing up the hour. Look, man, I understand what you're saying about Baylor. I agree with you to a certain degree, but I also think it's very difficult to blow everybody out week in and week out, man. It's tough to win every game by 30-whatever points that you're favored by.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And, I mean, I will be the first to admit that a portion of my assessment and expectation of Baylor has to do with my opinion of the Big 12.
Yeah,
that bias is absolutely there. You know, but you know, Baylor's doing what they have to do. They're winning week in and week out. They are winning. I think it may become a bit more difficult for them now that I think Seth Russell is out for the remainder of the year.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to plug I think Jarrett Stidham, true freshman quarterback, in there. Now, you know, Stidham, he's a true freshman. He has had some playing time. I think he's had like 28 pass attempts. His numbers in those attempts look great. And, you know, I'll echo something that I saw Dennis Dodd say on Twitter after all this news broke with the Baylor quarterback situation. And that is, this is the beauty of a team like Baylor running an offensive system the way that they do. They can plug pretty much any quarterback they have in there, and that machine is going to keep rolling. And
so this will be a good test. We'll find out if that's the case, and we'll see if it's just that simple. So, hey, really appreciate your time, Seth, as always. I'm up against it, so we'll get at you next week, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Sounds great. Fun as always.
Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box, who joins us each and every week, does a great job breaking down college football. That's hour number one, folks. Hour number two on the horizon. Fred Wallen will join me. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.